As every Sunday, this sermon is being recorded, so this part of the sermon may not apply to you. It applies to people with opinions. So if you don't have opinions, and strong ones at that, just relax. Kind of hang in there with me, because I will get to you eventually. You know how it is. We do form this notion of what will work, of what feels right, what is right, what's best for me, and all of that kind of stuff. When stainless steel appliances came out, boy, they were the greatest. But people forgot to tell them that fingerprints will show. When white cabinets became very, very popular, they forgot to tell them that if you have children, those handled areas won't stay white. Because kids are infamous, at least in my house growing up, they don't wash their hands before they get in the cupboards. And on it goes. And how about this new model of a car that came out? You know, that engine just purrs, but they didn't tell you how often it breaks down. Isn't that the way we are? We form ideas, we form mental pictures, we form a vision of what life can be like if only, right? And then we fill in the blank. If only I had this, if only this would happen, if I got to work for that company, if I got to date that person, you know, that I was focused on, you know, all of that. And we have this notion, and it's sort of like that commercial, and I don't remember what year it was, about, you know, try it, you'll like it. You remember that commercial? And the person says, I did, and I thought I was going to die. In the days of Amos, the context of the message of doom was a time when a message of doom didn't make sense. You see, the people had visions. They had mental picture of what it would be like. And their lifestyle and their life at that time, things were really good. And they couldn't imagine, even ponder, the bad. Amos is after King Solomon has died. The kingdom, the 12 tribes have divided the lands. 10 tribes to the north is called Israel. The 2 tribes in the south, which is called Judah. That Jerusalem and Bethlehem are in Judah. And so, you know, you have this great division. But at the same time, both nations were prospering. Business was good. The economy was good. Life was good. And in that goodness, people started to turn away from the truth of God's word and the message of what it meant to be true to God. And they began to think and imagine the realms of possibilities. And so, yes, they were in the temple in the southern kingdom in Jerusalem. And yes, they offered the right sacrifices on the right day. And yes, they looked good, religiously speaking. But it was superficial. Their heart was craving something else. And in the northern kingdom, they started worshiping other gods. And yet, they looked good religiously. This is prior to the year 722 BC. Okay? And yet, the mindset that I hear today was already modeled that long ago. It doesn't matter what you believe, and it doesn't matter how you believe it. It just matters that you believe in something and that you live right. And then the last line is, and you will get there. And the people of Israel, the northern nation, and the people of Judah, the southern kingdom, were that arrogant that they turned away from the word of truth. And God sent several prophets. Amos is one of them. He's not alone. He's a messenger that tells them this is not going to work. Look at your lesson on the back. The prophet is speaking that word of woe. Woe is not a good word to start off with. All right? When you see woe in the scriptures, it's like, okay, bad news is coming. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord, it says. In other words, their lip service about the day of Yahweh. Oh, come on, God, let it happen. And Amos is trying to tell them, you really don't want to ask for that. You're not going to like it. And he uses some mental pictures that connect to the culture of the time. Because if God showed up today, this is what would happen. Verse 19. Okay? It is darkness, not light. And it's like a person going from the frying pan into the fire, is the way we would say it. But in the visual picture, he says, it's like the guy who meets a lion, runs away from the lion. Next thing you know, he runs into a bear, and he tries to escape the bear. He's huffing and puffing, and he gets into his house, and he leans his hand against the wall, and a snake bites him, thinking he was safe. Now, in those days, there was no anti-venom. Not like we have today. A snake bite from a poisonous snake meant death. And that's the image of the day of the Lord for an arrogant, self-centered, egotistical, full of themselves, rebellious in the heart, but looking good kind of people. That's what's going to happen if the Lord shows up. And the people did not repent. And for the northern kingdom, it was in 722 that the Assyrians came and destroyed them. And the people in the southern kingdom, in Judah, Jerusalem, they didn't learn anything from that example, and they kept up with what they were doing. And it was around 587 BC that the Babylonians came and took Jerusalem, and they lost everything. Amos reminds us that being God's people is not about looking good by our own definition, are doing what is right just because we think it's right, are doing what is best because we think it's best. It's about God. What God says, God's word, and in a sense, God's opinion matters. And he tells them there, this is what God said to everything that they were doing. Go down to verse 21. I hate, says God. Yes, God does get angry. I despise your feast, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs, to the melodies of your harps. I will not listen. God says to them through the prophet, enough of the foolishness that you think you're great and ready for the day of the Lord. Because you are not. One of the other prophets describes the people of the day about how they honor God with their lips, but their hearts are far from God. The Bible even tells us in the Gospels that out of the heart comes lies and murder and things like that. On the outside, we can dress pretty stylish and we can look good and we can have your hair combed if you have hair, you know, and we can have the right new style of glass frames and we can wear the right jewelry and the right colors and we can have the right appliances and drive the most popular car of the time and we can do all of these things and still not be right with God. The prophet points us in the direction about being right with God. It says, let the justice roll down like rivers and the righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And it reminds us of another time of darkness. a darkness that happened once in history. It happened on a Friday afternoon. There were three men on a cross. The one in the middle we know is Jesus. And there the darkness came, and the judgment of God was shown to the world. And the judgment of sin was placed upon Christ. The Old Testament, it says, by his stripes we are healed. That means by his wounds, by the darkness that he bore in our place, we have hope. We have light. We have the joy of the Lord. And it points to another day yet to come when Christ will return. You heard it in Thessalonians. I do not want you to be ignorant. In common language, oh, come on, don't be silly, people. Know what God says. And receive that by the power of faith in your heart and hold on to that truth about where our real joy is found. It's found in Christ. It's not in our doing. It's not in our credits. It's not in my certificates. It's not in my accomplishments. It's in what Christ has done for me. At the foot of the cross, there is no arrogance. At the foot of the cross, there's no, I'm full of myself. At the foot of the cross, there's nothing to brag about. Because the one on the cross was because of you and me. And we're at the foot of the cross, and instead of the pride and the arrogance and the independence, there is, by faith, just the emptiness of self being filled by Christ himself. But the people of Israel and the people of Judah, they thought they were special. Does it sound like people today? Do people think they're special, right? The rules don't apply to them, right? You know, they deserve, they earned, they have suffered, and on the journey goes. And it's at the cross we realize that there's only one special, and out of him it flows. Out of him and from him it pours. And it's God's justice and mercy. He took our sin, and to us comes God's grace. He took our punishment, and to us comes the gift of everlasting life. It is so difficult. I can't imagine how hard it was in the days of Amos, but it is so difficult with all the fake messages today. It is so difficult to stay with the truth. Our hope is in Christ, not in our nation. Our hope is in Christ, the victory over sin, death, and the devil, not in the nation. Our hope is in Christ, not in our accomplishments, not in our income, not in my 401(3)(b) or whatever I got, you know. My hope is in Christ. For life and salvation, so that when I am about to breathe my last, my prayer is that I may be able to whisper even, thanks be to God for the Lord Jesus Christ who comes and establishes the day of the Lord forever. For it is in him I live, it is in him I have my being. It is in him I hope. Amen.